tonight a little bit. I don't know if you ever had many messages here on fasting. Anybody remember any messages on fasting? I didn't say eat fast or go to fast food. I said on fasting. Anybody remember any messages? I'm sure that's happened, but you know, a lot of people think about fasting, and as soon as a message preached, they forget about it because it affects an area that we don't want to deal with. I want to talk about fasting for a few moments, because as we go into revival, I mean, I am suggesting that you go on a fast. Now, I want to make sure you understand that it may be a fast of one, only having one meal a day or missing one meal. It may be a fast if you can do it longer. But I'll tell you this, be careful with fasting if you're not used to doing it, because it can create some issues. But I think sometimes we use that as an excuse not to fast at all. I want to deal with that tonight. I want to deal with four or five areas of fasting and what the Bible has to say about it. Now, we understand that the Pharisees fasted all for the wrong reason, didn't they? And sometimes we'll use something like and say, well, they did it for, you know, so I don't do it at all. That's not the approach. The Bible has a tremendous amount of material on the subject of fasting. And let me give you just four or five reasons to fast. First of all, fasting is necessary to control the body. Let me just sure you understand that the body oftentimes, particularly in our society, the body has become the master and not the servant. The body has become like a spoiled brat out of control, and it demands its right to be satisfied. The results, our bodies become a dumpster instead of the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so think with me this evening about that thought of fasting. I hope your body is not a dumpster. I think about that as we go along here, and I see, for example, young people just eating trash, and we wonder what their body is going to be like the older they get. And the Bible has a lot to say about that, and I'm not going to get on any particular area of eating. I will say that there are certain things that I don't like to eat. Anybody here besides me? And I'll tell you what, my wife serves them, I eat them. The only thing I like about carrots is the color. It is the same color as the grass, if you're colorblind, that I have. It's the only thing I like about it. But my wife, because she said, honey, they're good for you. And the Bible is very concerned that we consider the Bible. Look, for example, when Eve fell, what did the devil use to get at Eve? Food. Isn't that interesting? Took of the fruit. When Noah got failed in his life, what was it? It was drink. When Isaac had a favorite son, what was it that he wanted his favorite son to do? To fix his favorite dish. And so we recognize, as one studies the Bible, we need to control the appetites of the body, and we need to condemn the abuse of the body. Turn with me tonight first to, I'm going to have you go to different passages tonight, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. For a moment, please. And I draw your attention to verse 24 through verse 27, because he talks here that in this life there is a race to run, and there is a crown to be won, and there is a condition to be shunned. As I look at this, look at verse 24, because in that verse he talks about the race to be run. He said, he said, in this, I'll try it again. Know you not, verse 24, that they which run in a race run at all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And so he's going to talk here about the body. There's a race to run. My son, somebody just sent me some news clippings about my grandson in California. He is number one in the nation for the breaststroke, and probably good chance he may go to the Olympics when he's 20. But he has to be careful. If you're going to run that kind, if you're going to do that kind of thing, you got to be careful what you put into the body. He's got to maintain a healthy body. He can't make his body a dumpster. And you know something? He may be running a physical race swimming, but we're running a spiritual race. And with that in mind, he not only talks about a race to be won. In verse 25, he talks about a crown to be won. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all. Temperate in what? How many things? All things. He's dealing going to heal you with the body. Now they do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now he talks not only about a race to be won, a crown to be won, but he talks about a condition to be won. Look at verse 26 and 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But here, what does he say? What does he do? He said, I keep under my body, and I bring it in subjection. But you note that. Now, you'll think about the body. The body needs to be controlled. Now, I'm convinced there was probably several things he meant by that, but I'm sure one thing he meant is not being a glutton with the body. Not eating those things that were not healthy. But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection. You know what that word subjection means? It means to give your body a black eye. That's from the word. It's the idea, look, I know your body may crave things that you shouldn't just stuff in your body. He said, just deny yourself of those things so you'll be better fit to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we see here it is necessary fasting to control the body. We're going to get into fasting more here, because if not, it becomes a spoiled brat out of control. And never before have we seen in America people's bodies getting out of control. And because of it, we realize there's a lot of unhealthy people today because of that. And I think if we stop and think about it, now I'm not suggesting we go the extreme the other way. But I do think we need balance on this. Secondly, fasting is necessary to control the body. He said, I keep my body and I bring it under subjection. Secondly, to create a godly atmosphere. To create a godly atmosphere. Notice, if you will, please, turn to some references on that. We haven't even gotten to the word fasting that we're going to. But turn first of all to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you will, please. Verse 23, look what he says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole, what? Spirit. That's the part of you that communes with God. And your soul, that's the part of you where your emotional makeup is. And what else? The body. You know, your body needs to be set apart. It needs to be sanctified. It needs to be holy. Now, think with me for a moment. So we're dealing here with to create a holy atmosphere. Now think with me for some illustrations of this. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 9. I think I spoke on this here, last week, but I draw your attention to something else here, because here's the Apostle Paul, who tremendously gets saved. And I draw your attention as we look down here in chapter 9 of Acts, verse 9 and verse 8 and 9. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, neither did he what? Eat or drink. Because he was preparing himself, and God was preparing him to receive something special from God. And so he was creating an atmosphere by which God could do a tremendous thing through his life. He was searching. Here, here's the problem. Notice what he said. Lord, what will thou have me? Look at verse 6. And trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He was seeking the will of God. You know, fasting is very much part of seeking the will of God. It is a time that you're going to lay aside every appetite of the body and as well as the soul, and you're going to just say, Lord, reveal to me your will for my life. And I want to tell you something. It would be good if we would miss a few meals and get along with God and take that time and say, Lord, give us your man for the pastor of this church. I'm wondering if the Lord is wondering if we're willing to give up certain things to see if that's accomplished. Think with me about that for a moment. To create a godly atmosphere. Thirdly, to correct a backsliding condition. Not only to, and I could spend two messages on this. I'm just giving the little bit of the surface here. Necessary first to control the body so it doesn't control you. It's submissive. It becomes your servant instead of your master. Creating an atmosphere where God can really, really work in your life and those things that are happening. But thirdly, to correct a backslidden condition. Now we really find the word fasting. Turn with me. We're going to go to several Old Testament references to illustrate the truth of this. Turn with me, first of all, to the book of Joel. Now, if you don't know where that is, that's where all those pages are stuck together because you haven't been there for quite a while. Hosea, Joel, okay? Daniel, Hosea, Joel. And turn over there to Joel's prophecy in chapter 2 and look with me in verses 12 down to verse 17 because here he deals with the backslidden condition that takes place in Joel's prophecy. Here we find the necessary in sorrowing over a backslidden. You fast because you are sorrowing, you are weeping, you are upset over your own backslidden condition. I wonder if we've ever done that. Look what he says here in verse 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with what? Isn't that interesting? With all your heart and with fasting and what? With weeping and with mourning. Israel is backslidden. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth he of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind, even a meal offering, a drink offering, and the Lord your God. But the condition is found there in verse 12 and verse 13. Here is trying to correct this backslidden condition that we may have and really be broken over it. Then from there, we turn to another passage, and this is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. So turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. And as we turn there, we see another truth there. Look at verse 49. When we think of, isn't it interesting when we think of Sodom, Sodom and Gomorrah, what do we automatically think of? What? Homosexuality. But if you notice this verse, it was more than just homosexuality that caused God to destroy the city. Read the text. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride and fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. You say it in this text that the sin, and by the way, isn't it interesting that the neighbors, look here, saw it was pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Look at the neighbors of fullness of bread. Pride and idleness. Isn't that interesting? That's their neighbors. So the second thing he brings out is not only this facing your sin, which we looked at in Joel's prophecy, need to fast, but fasting and dealing with the fullness of pride and fullness of food. We need to take this seriously. We need to take this seriously that our bodies can be just the tool of the devil in the sense of backsliding condition, that we need to do something about it. Think with me thirdly, if you, not only do we see fasting as we face the sin and fasting and dealing with food here and the fullness of idleness, but turn with me to Deuteronomy now because we see something else here. Turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy When you come over here, by the way, the whole theme of Deuteronomy is what? Anybody know one word? Write it down if you don't know what it is. Remember. The word is repeated time and time again in the book of Deuteronomy. The word remember. And look there in verse 2 of chapter 8, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Remember. These 40 years in the wilderness, this is to the new generation, and to prove thee to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he, notice what God did to Israel. He humbled thee and what? Suffered thee to what? Hunger deals with food. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had your stomach growl because of your it's hungry? Did you ever have that problem? Oftentimes, I think the growling of the stomach is to remind us that God is pleased if we'll miss a meal or two for His glory. Sometimes we just the hunger pains, it's God's groaning voice in our own stomach and our own being to remind us. I know if you do fast at all, your stomach will growl because it's not used to not being satisfied. So we see here that God has done this. Another one is, so we see here, we've looked at Joel's prophecy. We looked here, facing your sins, weeping and mourning and fasting, and he deals with the sins of Sodom. And we dealt with remembering the things that we need to remember, and God purposely let their stomachs growl without food, fasting, so they remember who he is. Another passage is in the book of Isaiah. Turn there, Isaiah chapter 5 for just a moment. Excuse me, Isaiah 58, missed the chapters, verse 5. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go back to verse 4. He said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fists of the wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. By the way, be careful when you fast. You don't go around telling everybody else you're fast. This is between you and God. Amen? This is not to put on a show. I remember one year we had an evangelist in our church, and he arrived, and I took him out to a meal, and I just said, I'll just have a glass of water. And he kept prodding me. Well, I got to have something to eat, and he was really putting it away. And I said, I'm fine. I'm okay. And finally, I just had to tell him I'm fasting so we'll have a great meeting. Almost said, leave me alone. I didn't want to have to tell him that. I think that's between you and God. But I had made a commitment for 2 days. I was going to fast. And God had spoken to my heart. And I think we had a great meeting because we took God at his word. Some of us decided for 2 days we're going to fast. And God honored that. We saw several saved. Am I making sense to you? This is scriptural. This is scripture. Look there in verse 4 of Isaiah 58. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? He said, in other words, do it to the Lord. Let God work on your heart. Let him do something. So why does God want us to fast? To control the appetites of the body. We need to do that. I don't think it's going to hurt any of us to miss a meal. Hello? Somebody say amen or oh my. Really won't. But we do it for the right reasons. To create a godly atmosphere, as the Apostle Paul did, and I could give you many more references concerning that, and then to correct a backsliding condition. You know what God wants it to get so 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 upset at our own backslidden condition that we just don't want to eat. We just want to get with God and make it right. And I don't mean that we pray 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. I believe time God wants us just to get alone and be with Him. It may be a whole day. Hello? Have you been there? Number four, to change the desires of oneself. To change the desires of oneself. Turn with me to the Gospel of John for a moment, chapter 4. Remember with the woman at the well, the Lord Jesus Christ had met, and He had won her to Himself. Verse 28 said, the woman that left her then left her water pots and went away in the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. There you go. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. They were interested in supper. He was interested in souls. Get that? That's the passage. They were interested in supper. He was interested in souls. He had changed the desires of his life through fasting. And I think that's what God, well, of course, we know He's Lord. He would always have a burden for soul, but He was illustrating to us the need to change those desires. I think there's another reason why that we need to fast, and certainly number five is not only do we need to fast so that we can control the body to create a godly atmosphere, to correct a backsliding condition, and to change our desires. I was with a group of pastors out in California. They're about ready to close some of our churches down. We were in Sacramento. I never will forget it. And somebody said, boy, we had just had a meeting with the Senate there, and it looked pretty bad for us. Somebody said, what are we going to do? Somebody said, well, let's go eat. That was the last thing we needed to do. One of the men said, let's just get alone with God and skip our meal. We began to weep because we had gotten so accustomed to food, we had missed the real meaning of what God was trying to do in our lives. We went on fast. And guess what? The next week we went back to the Senate of California, and guess what? All of a sudden they all changed. Hello? God did that. God did that because we're a group of men that were willing to not go to supper, but get along with God and let God do something in our hearts. I think the fifth reason I give you is to cause the body to be in good health, to cause the body to be in good health. I'm not going to get on all this tonight. I am not one of those who believe that if you don't eat certain things, you're going to be healthy. But I will tell you this. I think we'd have a healthier church if our people would be more concerned about the body, taking care of it. Some of the junk that we're putting into our body, I think we're soda pop, french frying the power of God out of our churches. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Now, if that offends you, get your offender fixed. We need to understand something. Look what he says over there in 3 John. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be what? Be what? The average prayer sheet that the church has, what is the longest list of requests on the prayer sheet? What is it about? Somebody. It's not about souls. It's about health. None out of burden us. And I remember, and I think we need to really sit down and think about what we're giving our kids to eat. They might be healthy. I had a kid, my son, when he was small, we invited one of his friends over, and he sat down, and I said, here, put something on the plate, and he said, I don't like that. I looked at him, and I said, with a smile on my face, you either pick it up and eat it, or I will shove it down your throat. Staring at me, he picked it up and ate it. We had a policy in our home that whatever was set before you, eat it. If you complain, you got double helpings. I remember the time Tim just sat there for an hour at the table. And finally ate it. And he said to me one day, he said, Dad, just want you to know, I don't like ice cream. He did not get double helpings. I can tell when I've been had. But you know, we just got a generation that wants to pick and eat what they want instead of what's good for them. Turn with me to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 1. What a great illustration you have over here in Daniel, chapter 1. I'll find it here in a minute. You know the story of Daniel? Look here. Verse 8. I'll read this as we close tonight. Verse 8 on down. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And the word meat is food. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who had appointed you meat and your drink, for why should ye see your face worse like the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And it wasn't very tasty. Then let our countenance be looked upon for thee, and the countenance of the children that eat, and the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest deal with thy servants, he consented to do them and matter and prove them 10 days, and you know the story. At the end of 10 days, guess what? Prince of the eunuchs said, everybody's going to eat what these guys are eating. And they all probably said, you got to be kidding. That stuff tastes terrible. But it was good for them. I'm not suggesting that we eat everything that we don't like. But I am suggesting that we learn to control our appetite so that we be a healthy group of people. I don't know how many people I know right now are not healthy because of what they eat, what they have eaten. I say to you, take what you can out of this and use it. I normally preach that in 2 messages, but I pray tonight that we will take time this next week when we have revival and go ahead and pray about missing a meal or two. Take your family, teach your family that, principles, and maybe spend that time with the Lord. See what God won't do this week. Amen? Thank you, all 4 of you. Appreciate that. All right. Well, God's good. I'm just praying that the principles are there. I tell you what, the word fasting is just, get your concordance, it's just constantly mentioned in Scripture. We just don't know anything about it today. Only thing we think about fasting, we don't want to be like the Pharisees. How about fasting and being like the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen?